Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining me. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a great guest with me this first hour. Her name's Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Just to round out our discussion of the continuing disaster recovery efforts here in southeastern Wisconsin, according to Milwaukee County Emergency Management Director Cassandra Liebel, early damage estimates in and around Milwaukee County are well over $34 million. That number expected to increase over time as additional jurisdictions' damages are folded into that assessment. And again, Wisconsin's entire congressional delegation sending a letter to the acting administrator of FEMA today requesting assistance. They write this: "We anticipate that the state will promptly submit a formal request for a presidential major disaster declaration following completion of the preliminary damage assessment by FEMA." FEMA expected to be boots on the ground by Thursday here in southeastern Wisconsin. Anyone coming to your home to do a damage assessment will introduce themselves and provide official credentials. For your own safety, Milwaukee County Executive urges you to check all badges, verify IDs before sharing any personal information or allowing anyone inside your house. If you are unsure or uncomfortable, just keep your door closed and contact your local authorities who can verify the FEMA personnel that is at your house. You can support potential instances of fraud or impersonation relating to FEMA at StopFEMAFraud@FEMA.DHS.gov. That's StopFEMAFraud@FEMA.DHS.gov or calling 866-223-0814. That's 866-223-0814. Thanks for, just had to get the little PSA in there, Angela.
It's important. The governor even was tweeting about being careful about scammers knocking on your door and stuff too. So it's super important.
And that's been an issue in the past, people impersonating FEMA agents. We've got folks out there impersonating ICE officers these days and federal law enforcement, since they don't wear any identifying markings and cover up their faces and don't show badges or give numbers or any other identifying agency information. We'll get to all that in just a few minutes. That's coming up. But Angela, one of Block's core tenets is really to get people re-engaged as voters and as active participant citizens in our election processes, but just politically overall, whether that's in local government or state or federal government. So you work a lot for get out the vote efforts, voter education efforts. Tell folks about how central this is to Block's mission and your reactions to not just Donald Trump's first executive order back in March, but now we're expecting an executive order any day, building on his Truth Social post from yesterday morning, that he is going to, quote, end mail-in ballots, get rid of mail-in ballots, and also, while we're at it, highly inaccurate, very expensive, and seriously controversial voting machines. So tell us, pardon my cheeky impersonation, about your mission and your reactions to this.
Yeah, it sure doesn't make it easier. I'll just start there. You know, I think, especially thinking of the pandemic, right? There was a lot of vote by mail. I myself voted by mail for the first time. And, you know, if I'm not voting early in person, I'm voting by mail. It has become a thing that people rely on. And it can also, just be honest, it can be hit or miss in the Black community, because there's something that people want to see their ballot go in the machine and get that sticker, because there's some distrust these days. But people also know that drop boxes are incredibly convenient for folks. They are monitored, they are safe for the most part. You know, we've seen some instances across the country and, you know, a certain mayor trying to pick up and move a box, right? We're not talking about those things, but, you know, it is another way for people to exercise their vote, especially when you have like a pandemic or, you know, if voting isn't going to be a universal holiday, how are we making sure that it is accessible as possible to folks? And I think one point, and not to be alarmist, but it's kind of the environment that we're in, is what is he setting up by doing this, right? He's setting up trying to already undermine future election results if they don't go his way, whether it be the midterms or the 2028 election. We are a little over a year out from the midterms, and the fact that he's doing this, trying to already undermine and discredit vote by mail and drop boxes and things like this, I am really fearful he is trying to just start to make a play to potentially not have any more elections, potentially, right? You know, his friend is Putin, right?
Yeah, so, said as much yesterday. Hey, well, you, President Zelensky, don't have elections when there's a war.
Exactly.
So if we've got a war, we don't need one either.
He's setting it up. It's clear, and that is very terrifying and concerning.
Here's what else he said in his Truth Social post yesterday. He directs that the states are, quote, merely an agent for the federal government in counting and tabulating votes. That could not be more wrong, constitutionally speaking. And this is a point that he actually wrote it down there, that he thinks states are just literally arms of the federal government that he should be able to control, including their National Guards, is painfully obvious. And this is going to come up in our discussion about these detainer requests. Mm-hmm. Because remember when conservatives used to squawk about states' rights all the time?
All the time.
Super weird that he's not about that. No, the states are merely an agent for the federal government. Truly bizarre. We will continue this discussion and get into those detainer requests and sheriff's departments in this state making money off of them with Angela Lang coming up next. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.